gift and responsibility of farming and providing food for people, and I think I can serve through that. But most importantly, no matter what I end up doing occupationally, I just want to use every opportunity to serve and love others.
Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Today we're sharing four stories that we believe will stir your heart and lift your hope.
You'll meet four young adults who've walked very different paths from Italy, Belgium, United States, and Canada. But each of them found their way to the same destination, a destination called True Education, which is learning to know God, serve others, and live with eternal purpose.
This is Journeys to Paradise.
Being born in a family where like faith was not truly the foundation, because my dad was not a believer, education kind of became the common ground where my mom and dad would find each other. It came with the pressure like perform. It came with long study hours, almost 8 hours a day. So after high school, I ended up choosing like a political science and international studies course, which I pretty soon realized it was not really for me and I didn't like it that much, but I really chose to finish it anyway because I wanted to, like, for closure more than like anything else.
My name is Sarah and I'm from Belgium. I studied marketing and journalism. I grew up in Adventism. I kept going to church, but my mind was somewhere else. And Belgium, Europe is very secular. I got baptized when I was 24, and I made that decision. And after that decision, I just had this feeling, I want to be surrounded with like-minded people. I want to be surrounded with an Adventist community, which I never had. So I made the decision to volunteer and go to Africa for a year. And that was amazing. It was such a blessing.
Well, it wasn't very spiritual, but I grew up in a Catholic home. We went to a Catholic church. You know, the beginning of most people's lives really start. You graduate, you move from study to work life. And when my work life just started, my first job was in Sudbury, and I could have been good, you know, set, but I thought about, is this really what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? And that thought alone, my honest answer was, I just don't think so. And with that, along with other things happening with relationships and questions I had about life, it all just came together. And long story short, it just came together in a depression. I came out of my depression and I wanted to start creating a life for myself and provide for my parents. And I also wanted to just have a lot of resources to give to church, charity, and causes, just to be generous, because that was one clue I had, that part of a fulfilling life was giving a service. That's all I had. I didn't really know God at that time.
I grew up in a Christian home, an Adventist home, so I was taught about God, Jesus, the Sabbath. I think it was just a culture thing for me. I didn't know what my faith was, just went to church and sang songs and tried to be a good kid in the pews. But at home, it was always, you know, something different. Christianity wasn't real to me. Until probably later in my teens, we started studying with this one family about prophecy and the sanctuary. And it was really fascinating to me. But I think what really caught my eye was like the knowledge of the man that was teaching. And I looked up to him and I thought, man, that's really cool. He knows so much about the Bible. He seems so confident. Like he seems like he knows he's going to heaven. And if I could be like him, maybe, you know, my anger would disappear. Maybe my depression would disappear. Maybe my addictions would disappear if I just studied the Bible enough and knew the prophecies. Maybe things would be better. So I started studying a lot more, and I was writing Bible studies like he did. And I thought I was on like a new spiritual plane, but it didn't last because there was no real transformation there. I was just trying to copy him. Running away from the truth, you can go right on being dumb. But Yasushi never once turned down the challenge. "Where do you get all this stuff?" he asked, finally showing the interest that had begun to blossom secretly.
I came from a Jesuit-style educational system, so not really thought how to think for myself, and I wasn't aware of that until I really arrived at the farm there in Tennessee, and it was all new to me. So now we were going through the book education, and it was eye-opening. I was so overwhelmed. I just felt like I've been living my life a certain type of way, and I'm 26 and I arrived in this new place, everything was new. The whole, again, country living, the place, simple lifestyle, like eating simple and eating from the farm what you have grown yourself. But also we didn't have Wi-Fi or service anywhere because it was too far from the cities. Just so many small things that was just completely different for me, and I felt overwhelmed because I recognized all these people know skills that I don't have. I felt like I need to learn about gardening, but I also need to learn how to make sourdough bread, and I need to learn how to can food, and I need to learn sewing. Like, it was just, that's what I'm saying, it was so overwhelming to me.
I was working to produce content for preschool, a preschool audience. And of course, that's something you want to be producing good, wholesome content for. And over time, I found that it was becoming less and less wholesome, more immoral. That was one reason. When I moved to Kelowna, a friend had invited me to her church, which was a Seventh-day Adventist church, Kelowna SDA church. I felt at home. And that led to basically two and a half years of once a week Bible studies. And I went to my first camp meeting, Camp Hope in BC. I had picked up a pamphlet in the Adventist Frontier Missions booth. I was reading some missionary blogs, and I read the ones from Thailand, from different missionaries, some that were returned home already too. And it just spoke to me that, you know, maybe I should look into this. So I got connected with the missionary there. I learned about it, found out that there was an opportunity for me, and applied, and, you know, before I knew it, I was there. Hot, humid Thailand. First 6 months was focused on language learning and culture acquisition. Thai people are really nice, always smiling. They call it the land of smiles, I think. I learned how to be less selfish, really, because a lot of things are very communal, not as individualistic, and you just take care of one another.
And that's how it should be. Houses, homes, we mentally need to be prepared to bring people into our homes. It can't just be like, this is the way we do things here, and, you know, I like to keep it just like that. Like, there's going to be whole families coming in, they're going to live a whole different way.
When I was 20, 21, I was getting like a lot of calls to come work here and there. And so on one hand, I was thinking, wow, this is cool, but also I knew I wasn't living up to Christian or Adventist principles. I wasn't really a Christian. And so I felt like a fraud. I just started panicking and just feeling like I was an absolute failure and that I would never figure out how to do life right. So I had a panic attack. Whatever I was going through wasn't just hurting me, it was hurting people around me too. So I decided to try out Dr. Nedley's depression recovery program. And I learned a lot about CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy there, how to change your thoughts in order to change your behavior and your actions. So it was kind of tough for me, even after that program, for another 2 or 3 years, I still dealt with it until I made a visit to my spiritual mentors in Tennessee, the Dysinger family. They have a farm there called Bountiful Blessings Farm. I told Uncle John, hey, I am not happy. I have no peace, no joy, no purpose. I don't know what to do. And he told me, if you want to have peace, you need to submit to God. I was like, okay, great. Christian answer. Heard that one before. Like, well, let me just try. I'll at least try to submit. I don't really know what that looks like, but let me try. So I made a commitment to try and submit to God. When that same, the Dysinger family, they told me about a farm in Canada, in Ontario, called Paradise Fields. They were looking for a market garden manager. That's kind of what I do. So I called them up. I said, hey, I'm interested. Had an interview, got accepted, and I joined. But during the interview, they mentioned a student program. I was like, okay, interesting. And they described it, and they described something about education centers in the home and things about family and, you know, the blueprint and things like that. I'm like, I've heard of the blueprint. This centered in the home thing, I'm not so sure about, because I still hadn't resolved my issues of my, like, my upbringing and how I couldn't connect with my family still. So I didn't really want any part of, I actually didn't want any part of a family. It was repulsive to me, the idea. But I had made this commitment to submitting to God. So instead of just being the market garden manager and just focusing on work, I decided to also join the student program. And in it, I began to learn about God's love and experience God's love.
Can you tell the story of, like, how you were trying to start something and everything kind of just bounced?
After I graduated from university, I was very overwhelmed with, like, all the school years that I had gone through, and I decided to really say, okay, enough of books. And I decided to go abroad, and through OCI, the OCI website, I looked for job opportunities in the mission field, and I ended up going to Norway and work in a lifestyle center there. I stayed at the lifestyle center for 9 months. And then I was very ready to go back home because it had been very difficult. Through a friend that I had met there in the lifestyle center, I got the impression that God was telling me to go to a mission school that was still in Norway, just a couple of hours away from where we were, in Jeremiah 33:6, that says, I will bring to them health and healing. I will bring I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And it was, for me, I was like, okay, this is what this year is gonna be about. And it was a precious gift. And it was like that. I learned a lot about God and truly, like, to be personally connected with Him. After my experience in Norway, I was asking myself, what should I do now? And God made it clear, or opened the way for me to come to Canada. And so one day I was in the garden, I was separating some seedlings of kale and I was putting them, and I realized that there was a very accurate symbol of my experience. The plant cannot stay in the pot if it needs to come to full maturity. And so with that in mind, I came here. I came to paradise, I came to Canada.
Paradise Fields, it's again a farm, but it's completely different. And I was also mentally prepared. I knew truly what it means to be doing pioneer work. And it's a lot of sacrifice, and it's a lot of, it consumes all of your time and energy, and it's really what my focus is on. It's a lot, but it's also, I can feel it. I can feel that God is using it to also shape me and grow me even more. It's always like that. It's never when, you know, things are going easy, and that's not when God is really like shaping you and working with you. So it's, you know, it's a journey to know that, okay, I'm grateful. I'm grateful because this means that God is working with me and shaping me and working on my character even more. So this is a good thing.
You know, I don't know exactly where God is leading me. I'm still in agriculture. He's given me the gift and responsibility of farming and providing food for people, and I think I can serve through that. But most importantly, no matter what I end up doing occupationally, I just want to use every opportunity, learn to use every opportunity I can to serve and love others.
So let's dive right into this. We're going to talk about education, schooling, and how that affected you. Now, you experienced something that was true education for you. So how would you define that? So I can start with you, Maddie.
I didn't know anything about true education till the point that I actually went to Norway. I came across like some teachings from like a new, I think, Generation Ministries that really brought a lot of peace to my heart, and I started to understand and realize, wait a minute, so there's a better way. And so I started to like look more into it and really understood the power that education and a true education can give in really fostering a relationship with God. All knowledge comes from God, and all wisdom comes from God, allowing God to make you who he created you to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so with how I would define it is the harmonious development of physical, mental, and spiritual. There was, well, for me, working in studying and working in animation, we didn't talk about God. There was not a lot of mental because it was just drawing. No physical, except, I guess, just this part. But yeah, I think it's really important because true education and redemption are synonymous. Yeah.
I really like the point, what he just said about mental, physical, and spiritual, because it's so important. And when we talk about true education, we're talking about development, right? I see it as like God walking with us. But I really like the mental, spiritual, and the physical, because, yeah, I definitely also didn't have that growing up in all the things I did. So different. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think there's probably people, young people, older people listening to this and thinking, okay, well, you have to get a good job. You have to provide for yourself. You have to, you know, get a house and all these things. And, you know, you go to school, you get a degree, you get a good job. So what's wrong with that? Like, that's a good thing. But I think about some principles in the Bible. Jesus told a parable about the man that had all the whatever produce it was, and he stores it up in the barn, and he has so much, he keeps on storing it up in the barn, and he's like, oh, now I can just relax. And God is like, you fool, you're gonna die, and none of this is coming with you. And then there's a story of the rich young ruler, and he's not willing to leave everything behind to follow the thing or the person that matters the most. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose a soul? If you have a job, a career, everyone looks at you and you're successful, you have a nice looking family, a nice house, but you don't have Jesus, nothing else, like none of that comes with you. It doesn't actually matter. And I think the purpose of education is to instill in a young person to realize what's most important, which is the relationship with Christ. And then once you have that, you can focus on, be able to use your career or your experiences to share with others. But if you don't have Jesus first, educated on who Jesus is first, nothing else really matters.
We become so focused on the performance and the behavior. And even as parents, the way we were parented, you parent the behavior. You have to do well, you have to perform. So then it becomes all about works. But how often do we parent the relationship? And do we really parent the heart? And that's where your thought came in, Keith. Yes, those things are important, but the most important thing is Jesus. Conversation that we're having, it's so real and so honest. But I'm just thinking there might be some young adults that are listening to this and are probably feeling a little bit stuck, maybe disillusioned, even lost in the system that they thought would have all the answers for them. So before we close, I have one more question for you. What would you say to a young person who feels like they don't fit in and they want something more? How would they start over?
Yes, there is a better way. So that's hopeful. But it's hard. It is hard. I was 26 when I realized and just God showed me. Yeah, it's hard. You really have to unlearn a lot of things, but God will help you. And again, there is a better way.
Usually we think we're the only one. It's not the case. These thoughts, these things happen to many people all around the world, and it's okay to start over. I mean, if you think about it, what age did Noah start building?
Oh yeah, it's like 600 years old.
And that's beyond this age range here. I think that hesitancy or fear of wanting to start over, right? It can, like, where is it coming from? Is it coming from being afraid of what others think about you and what you're doing? But really, it's like what God thinks of you.
Yes, I just wanted to add on what Jeffrey was saying, because it might be scary to just basically step into like the unknown, probably for most of the people. But I would like to encourage to take that step and really starting to come out, like to follow God. And God is merciful, doesn't do it all at the same time. It's like it brings us through the journey, but it has to be, it has to come to the point where we're actually fully His, in like in body, mind, and soul.
So we come to the end of our time together. I wonder if one of you would like to choose to pray. Pray for those who are watching that they will have the courage to follow Jesus, to humble themselves, to lay their lives before Him and discover their God-given purpose. Yeah. Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to have this discussion about education and what that really means. And I hope that something that we've said can inspire young people and older people to actually think outside the box of, you know, today's culture and what is said to be most important about education and where you're supposed to go. Lord, please give all of us courage to search for the truth in your word, and to understand that the education we receive should lead us closer to you, to change our character, to become more like yours, to lead us to be more loving and serving. And if it's leading us to think more about this life and more about ourselves and more about personal security and things like that, then maybe we're on the wrong path and we need to get on the right path, a path that will bring us closer to you and shine for you so others can see you and the path that they should be on. So give us courage, give us wisdom, and teach us, Lord. Educate us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Each of these stories of these young adults reminds us that God doesn't just call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Wherever you are on your journey, Jesus is calling you to something higher, deeper, and more meaningful.
If you'd like to learn more about the God who transforms lives through grace and true education, we invite you to begin your journey with our free offer today, Daring to Ask for More.
Not only will Daring to Ask for More challenge you to pray as you've never prayed before, but it will give you extremely practical tools and practical pointers on how to develop the spiritual discipline needed as you open your heart to Jesus more intimately each and every day. Thank you to everyone who has supported It Is Written Canada through your prayers and financial gifts. Also, if you have been inspired by this program, please share it with your friends.
In order to keep this ministry on the air, we truly need your support. You can make a donation on our website. You can additionally follow us and share our content on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also listen to our podcasts.
Friends, if you want the kind of joy and peace that only Jesus can bring, we encourage you to open your Bible, where you will find that Jesus himself defeated the devil with these words. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.